The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented in the public interest by the Beasley Broadcast Group. Each week we focus on a worthy organization and learn how you can lend support. And now, here are your hosts, veteran fundraiser and management consultant, Ezra Creed, and public relations consultant, Ellen Schulman.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Forum for Nonprofits. Our featured nonprofit this week is the Junior Welfare Society, and I'm very pleased to welcome Lynn Marchetto. She is a volunteer member of the society and the current projects chairman. That sounds very important, Lynn. So tell us what the Junior Welfare Society is. This is a wonderful example of how one person or several people can make a huge difference in our community. It's a wonderful organization. So tell us what you do and what you're all about.
Well, Junior Welfare Society is a nonprofit charitable organization that was established in 1955. So we've been working, or the organization has been in Fort Lauderdale for 57 years.
That's amazing. And it's all volunteers, right? These are women of all ages that have said, I want to make a difference in the community.
Absolutely. 35 wonderful, hardworking women get together once a month and work on trying to provide assistance for needy residents of Broward County.
And you work through existing nonprofits, right? Social welfare services, are they just for kids or adults? What kind of agencies do you support?
Well, we work directly with the social service agencies. Such organizations that we work with are Jack and Jill, Second Chance Society, Broward Health, Handy, Children's Home Society.
Wow, that's overwhelming. And we're going to hear from Jack and Jill later. They're one of the organizations you support. How many different nonprofits do you support in any given year?
Well, 50. At least 50.
That's
yes.
Amazing.
I was looking at some of the past reports, and over the last 6 months, we've helped 26 different
charities. That's amazing. And so what's the process? How do you decide? I mean, there's so much need in our community. How do you decide which agencies to support?
Well, that has been established over the years, but basically the agencies that we work with are well established, and we, from Junior Welfare, we work directly with the social service agencies and never the individual directly.
That's really great. So that's important for our listeners to understand that if you have a need, go to the social services agencies. Don't come directly to Junior Welfare Society, which is why we're probably not going to be giving a phone number out today. But if you're interested in learning more about the organization, the website is www.juniorwelfaresociety.org, correct? So, Lynn, tell me about you personally. I mean, you're a busy working mom, so why did you get involved in this charity?
Well, I got involved with this charity through a friend, who basically was just telling me how much she enjoyed working with JWS, and as we call it, for Junior Welfare Society. And it sounded great to me. And the reason that it sounded great is that it sounded like a grassroots effort. There was 35 women from all over Broward County. It wasn't just from the west, Broward. It wasn't just from the east. And it just covered all the women are from different areas. Some are attorneys, some are dentists, some are stay-at-home moms. And I really like that. And it gave me the opportunity to go out, meet other women, and go out and help those in need.
And so is it capped at 35, or what if you want to be a member of Junior Welfare?
No, it's capped at 35. You have to be asked and invited.
Wow. So, okay, it's very prestigious.
It
it's an honor
actually,
to be a member.
It actually is an honor. And the other thing that I liked about Junior Welfare was that they give assistance based on need, but a one-time assistance. And it bridges that gap between, someone that may have had a temporary financial setback.
So give us an example. I mean, we're going to hear about Jack and Jill later, but give us an example of maybe something specifically that you guys raised money for a different charity.
Well, what we did every month, what I do is, and Junior Welfare does, is that we allocate funds each month that go back to individuals in Broward County through the through a social service agency. We may, in the past, for example, helped a grandmother that now is caring for her three grandchildren, and one in particular was three grandchildren. Her daughter was bedridden, and she really needed help with her utility bill.
And then you write a check directly to FPNL. You don't
yes.
give the individuals money directly.
Exactly. Always to the service provider.
Do you, can you give us a feel for how much you raise a year as a society? Do you know, or a month? Or
Well, I mean, we have one event a year, and that raises, in the past, it raises about $80,000 to $100,000.
That's a tremendous amount. And we're going to hear from Liz later to talk about the fundraising efforts. But what to be around since the 50s too? That's amazing. And I don't know if you guys have ever counted how many different nonprofits have you helped over that many years. I mean, that's probably
over 50.
That's really
over
and
50.
Do you keep the same nonprofits? You add new ones every year?
Keep the same and add two.
So every year you can add two.
Absolutely.
So if a nonprofit is out there listening and they want to be a beneficiary, what's the process? What do they need to do?
Basically, they would just need to go to our website, inquire, and send supporting documents explaining, you know, about their organization and their agency.
So what have you learned by being part of this? Have you learned about needs in our community that you didn't know existed before?
Actually, I did. And I think that was such an eye-opening experience because I have worked, you know, with many charitable organizations in the past. But being the project chair, I'm the one that's, you know, looking and receiving all of the referrals. And I see a tremendous amount of need out there in Broward County.
Have you seen, because of the economy in the last few years, have you seen an increase in having to help people with rent or having to help pay the electric bill?
Yes.
Or
I feel that this is my second year as projects chair, and I'd say that the requests and the referrals have doubled.
Oh, my goodness. That's, have you ever been in a situation where you've actually had to say no to
yes.
somebody?
Every month.
Wow.
And it breaks my heart.
Well, and we're going to talk later about how people who are listening to this can make sure that doesn't happen as much. And for example, I'm sure no matter what people can contribute, it makes a difference because an electric bill, for example, $100 or
exactly.
every little bit helps,
exactly.
correct?
Exactly. A pair of eyeglasses, you know, $100. Rent, you know, it's anywhere from $500 to, you know, $1,000.
Can you recall a story that, like you talked about the grandmother, can you recall any other stories that particularly touched you in such a way, about a young kid who needed eyeglasses and because of your help got eyeglasses?
I think one of the cases that I remember was a veteran, and you know, just in a time of despair, and the man just needed to get to work and needed his car repaired. And that was the story. Just, it was heartbreaking to me that he had served this country, came back here, and basically, you know, found a job to get by, and he just could not afford to pay to have a simple car repair.
That's, I mean, I'm sure the stories go on and on and on and on and on. And we're going to take a short break and come back. But if you've just tuned in, we're talking to the Junior Welfare Society. These are 35 very giving, dynamic women in Broward County who have come together to help fill some of the important needs in our community. So it's www.juniorwelfaresociety.org, and we'll be learning more about them when we come back.
What if you got rewarded for every good decision? What if your heart had a special way of letting you know it appreciates your healthy choices?
Oh, I've got to get my family to eat more vegetables.
Amazing!
And instead of cooking with butter tonight, I think I'll saute our veggies with a heart-healthy oil.
You're a genius!
So really, would your food choices pay off in heart health? Did you know that when you replace bad fats with healthier fats, like those in canola or other vegetable oils, it can lower bad cholesterol levels? And that's good for your heart. Here's a winning idea. Take up the challenge for good health, because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Forum for Nonprofits. We've been talking about the Junior Welfare Society, and I'm very happy to introduce Shannon Prohaska, who has my favorite last name. She's the Executive Director of Jack and Jill Children's Center. She's also been a guest on our show before. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you.
She is one of the many beneficiaries of the Junior Welfare Society. So tell us from your perspective what a difference this wonderful group of women have made for Jack and Jill.
Well, I have to say it is a huge honor to be able to be here today and speak on behalf of the amazing work of the Junior Welfare Society. As a nonprofit myself, I know and I could only imagine the inundation they've gotten, especially over the last couple of years, for requests, and the Junior Welfare Society is just incredibly giving to our most vulnerable populations in our community, which is huge.
Well, just for our listeners who may not be familiar with Jack and Jill, why don't we start by giving us a little overview of what you are, where you're located, and the population you serve.
Sure. Jack and Jill Children's Center is located on Broward Boulevard, 1315, directly across from the police station. We just celebrated our 70th anniversary, and our mission is to break the cycle of poverty for low-income working families in Broward. So we have not only an early childhood center for 6 weeks old to 5-year-olds while that family is in work or school, but then a whole component for parent education and resources.
And give us some examples of what the Junior Welfare Society donations have done for your clients.
Sure. Well, we deal with a very fragile group of families. They are really trying to get into the brink of becoming self-sufficient. Unfortunately, in our government, their income level puts them in this very fuzzy gray area of becoming overqualified for subsidized services. And so we constantly are seeing requests that are very unique to their needs. They are essential if they're not met, but a lot of organizations will not support us. And that is not the case with Junior Welfare. A perfect example is we had a mom probably about a year ago who was leaving a domestic situation. She was just getting on her feet. She was able to make her first month rent in her new home, but then came on that second month and had obviously lost significant resources leaving her abusive situation and found herself close to eviction. And there were no other resources for us to go for this mom. And we had Junior Welfare, and they're that resource that we can go to. We show how hard this mom is working, her history, what she's done, and how without the support she would slip through the cracks. And they are there to make sure that she doesn't, because they know that she's trying to do the right thing. She's got this family. This is just a support in the rung of ladders that she's climbing, and without a Junior Welfare out there, we don't have internal resources to be able to support her in that capacity. So it's huge.
So explain to me how it works. Did they just give you a grant at the beginning of the year, or do you have case-by-case requests where you call them and say, okay, we have this mom needs $500 this
month
for rent?
Well, we on site have a social worker, and our social worker works very closely with the Junior Welfare team. Our social worker, as an organization, when our families have emergencies, they fill out applications. Internally, first, we really closely assess and prioritize a family's need. If there are alternate resources that we can refer them to, we will try to do that first. There are those extreme cases where we know this is a Junior Welfare request. And so what we do is then our social worker works one-on-one with Junior Welfare, providing the appropriate documentation, which is really important. The families have to prove. Mm-hmm. It is documented a loss of income, what disruption they may have had in their situation that's put them on this fragile road. And then they work one-on-one. And so, for example, we had an infant in our infant room, teen mom, very young, our program identified him with a concern visually. And not a lot of resources. This mom, limited resources.
No health coverage.
Yeah, just limited options.
Right.
And to find a pediatric ophthalmologist was difficult. But going to Junior Welfare, we were able to go, and they were incredibly sensitive to help us fill that void. So our social work's one-on-one with them, and then they're able to write the check directly to the provider to get that family or that child that support they need.
And that's, it sounds like an incredibly detailed process to have to go through each one of these requests.
Sure.
Too, but it also sounds like a nice, secure system. So you really know that the family has that need. Junior Welfare writes the check directly to the provider. And so it's nice and clean.
It's very clean. And it's you know, we take it, it's the families that we put in front of Junior Welfare, we know are really at a crucial point in their life. We have high respect for Junior Welfare. We realize that they are a 100% volunteer-based organization. They do not have one paid employee. And the requests that we put to them really are that high-risk request that we sometimes won't submit something for months on end, knowing that there is probably going to be a crisis that will come.
An real emergency.
Absolutely.
Fund. Can you estimate how much they've supported you, like, in a year, and what you would have done without that?
You know, they, in any, you know, one given year, they might give us, you know, a few thousand dollars that may have gone across a number of unique cases that, again, fill this void that no other services out in the community are providing for this vulnerable population. So really, I mean, they've been providing us decades of support. We are two organizations that have been around for an incredibly long time. And it's, again, like I said, an honor to be able to speak about what they do, because it is, they don't have to do what they do. And we're very fortunate as a community to have them here looking out for the nonprofits that really are trying to help the populations that are being served, whether it's veterans or families and children, disabilities. Very lucky.
It's nice to know that there's somebody that, like Liz, I'm stealing your words, Liz, that filled the cracks.
Absolutely.
It's an emergency fund that's not covered. Because you were saying earlier, you actually have donors that don't feel comfortable actually funding this kind of thing. And so it's a gap that you have that you need somebody to fill.
Yeah, and as a nonprofit, you know, you try to leverage the dollars that you get in. And like I said, you know, we get dollars for food programs, and we get dollars for, you know, needs for classroom materials. But it's very unique that you get dollars for crisis in the setting that Jack and Jill is. So to be able to know that there is that sounding board to go to, and that there is a group that will provide it, is absolutely huge. And we are incredibly fortunate to have them.
Well, thanks, Shannon, for sharing that great story about how the Junior Welfare Society really helps Jack and Jill. And we are going to take a short break. We'll be right back to find out how you can help support some of these families in need in our community. So we'll be right back.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket. A tent, a sterile bandage, a sandbag, a doctor, a sheet of plywood, a shovel, a bulldozer, a stethoscope, a cement mixer, an oxygen tank, a bed, a house. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact. It can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most: food, medical services, shelter, and other essential supplies. It can help improve the immediate distress, and over time becomes a crucial tool in rebuilding schools, hospitals, and homes, and getting local businesses back on their feet. A monetary donation is an easy and effective way you can help.
Want to help those affected by Hurricane Sandy? To donate, visit sandy.adcouncil.org. That's sandy.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Forum for Nonprofits. We've been talking about the Junior Welfare Society, which is an amazing group of 35 volunteer women who raise money for people in need in our community. And I'm pleased to introduce Liz Caldwell. Liz is the Ways and Means Assistant and Past Treasurer. So Liz is going to talk about ways all of us can help the Junior Welfare Society help even more people. So welcome, Liz.
Well, thank you for having me. This is a real honor to be here as well.
And I know that everybody's been very touched with all the wonderful work you guys do in the community. What can they do to help?
There are several different avenues that you can help the Junior Welfare Society. One is going to our website, thejuniorwelfaresociety.org. We host a yearly event. It's been known as the Toyland Ball event. And we've changed some things around over the different course of the years to meet the needs of the community. And, you know, and people change and the things that they, how they want to go out to social events and how they want to give. So we're in touch with that. And, you know, one thing that is for sure in life is change. So you kind of have to go that route as well. But we do one big event, and that's where the majority of our fundraising dollars come from. And even if you are not into going to parties per se, we will certainly take your donations. In that regard, we also are always looking for underwriting dollars through the ticket sales and also in-kind donations. And we also look for people who want to donate items for our silent auction, whether it be trips or, you know, jewelry or whatever, anything of that type.
So is it a formal black tie ball?
It's been like that in the past. And we've rotated with something a little bit less formal. Like I said, talking earlier, we want to meet the needs of also our patrons because we want to get them out.
Right.
So a lot of people are a little bit more casual. They'd rather not spend the big money on a big fancy ball dress. They'd rather donate it.
Money directly to charity. That's great.
Yeah.
And so they can write a check. They
uh-huh.
can come to the event.
Yes.
They can donate auction items. They can, do you need volunteers to greet people?
That we have covered through
the members,
yes, and then with student volunteers, a lot of our, you know, members who have high school students, they help as well. We also work with grants. We have some grant writing. We get some of our dollars through grants and some local foundations that we're very blessed to be on the...
So do you need help with grant writing, or do you need anybody... Well, if you work for a big foundation out there and you're looking for something great to support...
We do have some ladies that have done some grant writing that have some expertise from other volunteer organizations that they've been involved with. That's been very successful for us. And we also have worked with some estates as well. You know, it's... Actually, some of our members are estate attorneys, and some of them are bankers, and it's a great opportunity for them to, you know, sing our praises and talk to our clients.
And that's a really good point. So anybody who's out there listening who's an estate attorney
yes.
or a financial advisor or a banker, because this is one of those very few donations where 100% of your donation goes directly to the person in need. Is that correct?
That is correct. I mean, we don't have any financial overhead. We probably have a lot of overhead in our hearts. last year, I was fortunate to be the treasurer, and it was a very consuming job in the sense, and, you know, working with Lynn, who spoke earlier, but you don't really realize it until you physically write a check. You know, as I was getting the requests that were approved from projects, and then I would get them over, and then I would physically write the checks and mail them. And just to see, you know, we take so much for granted just to help pay for the Florida Power and Light bill. You know, someone needed a pair of eyeglasses, and to write those checks, and you think about your families and the things that the money that we blow or just don't even think about. It was probably one of the most rewarding years in my volunteer years of experience. To be a treasurer, it's probably the most responsibility.
Right,
ever.
And you see where, and that's interesting
yes.
in terms of where does the money go? I mean,
yes.
we've talked about eyeglasses, medical
yes.
needs, housing, you know, utilities. What are some of the other, and I think Lynn mentioned a car needed to be fixed.
Yes.
These are everyday lifestyle needs that people have, that all of us have. And you've also seen an increase in
yes.
need.
Yes. And for, you know, Lynn will tell you some really bizarre things that you would never think, that you just take for granted. You know, the little scooter that he needed to get, you know, one of those automated walker things. You know, he's mind-wise, he wants to work, but he needs that to get to where he needs to be. So, you know, we can just zip in a car and go.
Are there any things that are totally off-limits that you won't support?
I know that pretty much comes through projects. I know that I think we have a limit. You know, we can't donate to one particular person. You know, we'll get a request for like $2,000 for one particular person in need through one of the social services, and we do have a cap. Right. So, you know, we're only allocated so much money per year, and we vote based on our monies. So we have to really try to spread those dollars around.
And
so it's not so much something. Fortunately, the social services that we work with, we really never get anything that's out of the ordinary.
Right.
But we do have a limit, and we have to spread that around. I mean, it's fortunate that when we can write a check, we can meet that specific need to the max. But sometimes we can say, well, we'll give X amount to you.
Right.
Because we don't want to let someone else miss out.
So if somebody listening wants to write a check, they can't come to your ball or mm-hmm. do anything else, but they only have $25. Can they write a small check like that?
We will take any and all
checks. $25,000 would be good too, right?
Absolutely.
So what do? They go on the website? Can they fill out a form? What's the process?
They can go on the website, and our address is there, and it's mailed to our post office box, and then we send a letter, you know, thanking them.
Can
for
you give
donation.
Online?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes, you can.
Super. Now, again, there's no phone number because these are
right.
all volunteers, but if you go to www.juniorwelfaresociety.org,
yes,
all the information you need to support this wonderful effort is there.
Yes.
And what is your goal this year? What have you raised? What do you want to raise this year?
Well, our goal is always to make at least $100,000. I mean, we've had some years that are a little bit less, or we've made it, you know, we've been very fortunate that we've always, if we didn't get the ticket sales in our major event, we got a lot of underwriting. And at the end of the event, we vote as a group to allocate those dollars per month. And we only meet physically in person during the school year, as I call it. In the summer, the projects manager and the treasurer, we are still working. So
because the needs are all year round.
The needs are there. We don't stop working in the summer. So there's a few of us that are...
And this is a lot of work. I mean, you're talking about a huge administrative job, and you're giving $100,000 away to families in need that wouldn't be there otherwise. 35 devoted women who volunteer their time. You do a wonderful, wonderful job. And I commend you, and anybody who's interested in supporting their efforts, please visit www.juniorwelfaresociety.org. Support our families in need. And until next time, thank you for listening to the Forum for Nonprofits.
Thank you for listening to the Forum for Nonprofits. We hope this week's worthy organization inspired you to get involved and give back. The Forum is produced by Ezra Cree, senior consultant with Kreisenberg LLC, and Ellen Shulman, president of Ellen Shulman Public Relations. Find out more on forumfornonprofits.org. This program is a public affairs presentation of the Beasley Broadcast Group. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.